And welcome back, Flyers fans, to another edition of High and Wide Full Circle. I'm your host, as always, Jack Smith, here with my co-host, as always, Steve Ferrari. Start of free agency has come and gone. The NHL draft's over. The Kraken draft's over. The Flyers have been moving and shaking. We are back to the Metropolitan Division. The Mass Mutual East has come and gone. The Buffalo Sabres and Boston Bruins have gone back to their old divisions. And the Carolina Hurricanes and the Columbus Blue Jackets have come back home to ours. A lot of moving and shaking, as I alluded to earlier. Before we get into it, though, Steve, your thoughts on the entire very action-packed couple of past weeks we've had with everything going down.
It was exciting. I was really looking forward to this time. The expansion draft I was looking forward to see what was going to happen. I got to be honest, I was quite disappointed how that played out. I think, I don't know if it was partially ESPN, partially the NHL, Dr. Evil and Frank Saravalli, but I think they missed an opportunity there that looked like it could have been really exciting, and just it fell kind of flat on its face, to be honest. So I was disappointed in that. The NHL draft, we were together for the first round of that. Not a ton of intrigue. You kind of knew where the first few picks were going to go. Nonetheless, another draft has come and gone. Free agency has come and gone. You had some big movement, big tickets being signed by some of these players. And I got to say, it's never been more evident than probably this offseason and the last one that defensemen are fetching quite the premium on the open market these days. They're just the scarcity and the level of play that you can get out of some of these guys. They're getting a lot more money than I expected, and hey, good for them. But it's an exciting time all around, and our Flyers, they're doing some of the most moving and shaking that we've seen lately.
Right, and later in the show, we're going to get into some of my way too early predictions and talk about the teams and what they've done and why they are where they are. But it's funny that you brought up some of the price tags and free agency. Certain defensemen definitely got paid a premium. Certain shutdown centers definitely got paid a premium. It's a shame. I was hoping we could bring one of these guys in, but seeing some of these deals, maybe not so much. Some were close, some were a little out. Backup goalie was a big thing for a while with Bernier getting over $4 million. Not that, I mean, I know he was asking for it and a lot of teams were in on him. It was just who's going to pay him. We'll get more into that because a lot of what I'm referring to, a lot of these guys all signed in the Metro. But certain guys that I wanted the Flyers to be interested in, such as perhaps a Savard or a Larson, they signed deals that I felt were very cheap. Like, it's still a flat cap, but they're still free agents. I think Savard was $3.25 million, maybe 3.5 for like 3 years. And Adam Larson was 4 years, $4 million. And he's younger than Savard. I think he's Couturier's age. He's 29, 30-ish, something like that. And he was with the Kraken, too. They had plenty of cap space. I was just surprised at what some of these guys went for. However, the Flyers didn't go that direction. They went somewhere else. We'll get to that. Just some quick around the NHL news. Found this out just before we went live. I figured this would work out this way, but I really didn't want this guy going to Pittsburgh in some BS manner. Sounds like Marc-Andre Fleury will play for Chicago this year. They're doing big things out there. A lot of moves. Seth Jones is definitely one that comes to mind. As much as I wanted Seth Jones, not big on that contract. Again, something we'll mention a little bit later. Your thoughts on the whole Fleury saga?
Can you remember a player, specifically a goalie, I guess, in this case, ever getting done dirtier than Fleury? I mean, he gets left unprotected for the Vegas expansion draft. Now, granted, he became the face of that franchise. He got benched in the playoffs, or I guess pseudo-benched. Alan Walsh put out that tweet with the knife in his back. And then he found out he gets traded to Chicago on Twitter. The team didn't even let him know. I mean, for a guy that's coming off of Vezina and one of his best seasons at, I think he's like age 36, 37, you almost feel for the guy. And being in Pittsburgh, there was always that little bit of hatred for him. But at some point, like, can we throw this guy a bone here and recognize what he's done for a team, specifically Vegas? And I guess you could say almost putting them on the map. But he just got done dirty. And I'm happy he ended up in Chicago and not Pittsburgh, like you mentioned. That would have been tough to stomach. Chicago, I think they've put themselves in a nice little window if Taves comes back. I don't know if they're necessarily strong enough, but with the Jones addition and Flower, I think you could see them make a little bit of noise. But you almost feel bad for the guy. It's just getting tossed around the league.
It's very strange. And I actually thought you were going to ask me not a goalie getting done dirty, which is true. But the last time a player failed to report to the trade and or from the trade to his new team or whatnot. And I thought I heard Kevin Allen say somebody's name. And I believe that was like 50 years ago. Like it's just does not happen, you know. Yeah. And it's funny. It's like, oh, the trade will reverse. I'm like, does it really matter? He was traded for literally nothing.
Yeah, it was salary relief.
And I honestly didn't think he was going back to Vegas. I thought somehow he was going to get traded for nothing again to go to Pittsburgh, or Pittsburgh was going to throw Chicago a draft pick of some kind to retain a little bit of money or something. I don't know. It doesn't really make sense for the Blackhawks in that regard because they need a goalie. But it sounds like he will play. Not sure what Pittsburgh's going to do in goal now. I guess they're rolling with Jarry and Casey. Is Casey DeSmith still there? Is he a free agent or was he? I think he's still there.
Yeah, I think he was restricted, so he should still be there. They might have to sign him, but I think he'll be back with Pittsburgh.
All right, we'll get around to Pittsburgh, but yeah, don't have to worry about that bullet dodge. But you're right, this guy. When I heard there was a slight rumor of him coming to Philly, I don't know how it would have worked financially, but I was down. However, we'll get to the Flyers as well. They went a completely different direction, completely out of the blue. That's got the fans split a little bit there. And then also, what recently came out was Evander Kane's wife. And this is not ex-wife, right? This is his wife?
Not yet. Not ex-wife yet. Not you did yet, say right? She's future ex-wife.
Oh, she's going the right way for a whacking. Evander Kane gets his accusations of him Pete Rosing it, essentially, betting on games and throwing the games. Those are some very serious accusations. Mom, where there's smoke, there's fire. We know all about his gambling and whatnot. I just find it hard to believe that he was throwing games and he got into the debt he was in. Because he would have been making money, you'd have thought. But I don't know. He says he'll fully cooperate with whoever the NHL sends his way. And I guess we'll find out. We'll see whether the wife is crazy or if he really is, you know, doing something.
I was going to say, I don't know if this is a wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, trying to eviscerate the guy or – like you said, if there's smoke, there's fire. You feel like there's got to be something here. My guess is him throwing games. I'm going to say, as far as that goes and betting on his own games, I'll say he's innocent until proven guilty. Excuse me. I have a hard time seeing that, no matter how much debt you're in. But it wouldn't shock me if it came out that he was betting on NHL games that were not his own. We know he had the gambling addiction. We know there's a lot going on there. The Las Vegas casino was suing him for debts unpaid. So I think there's something that's going to be come out of it. I would not be surprised if they handed him down a suspension. But he's in a world of hurt and declaring bankruptcy and this coming out. It's a tough time for him.
I don't want to say anything else. I'll just let it happen. And
when see how we get plays some out. More
information, yeah, then we'll talk about it then. So let's get into our rankings. As we alluded to, a lot of different, especially in the Metro. Certain teams, not so much, but a lot of teams made a lot of moves, and some of these moves with each other. I'm going to give you my rankings. I'm going to start from the bottom up, and I understand that plenty of moves and trades and whatnot can still happen. That's why these rankings are way too early, but it is the best way to discuss these teams right out of all the hoopla that was the NHL draft, that little trade window freeze and the expansion draft and whatnot, and then, of course, free agency. So with that being said, the team that will finish last as of today in the Metropolitan Division, I have – the Columbus Blue Jackets. We didn't want to do a drum roll for the last place team. Felt wrong. A couple of key moves. Well, the Kraken selected from them. Gavin Bayreuther, unrestricted free agent, could be honest with you. I don't know if I've ever heard that name before. Some moves they did make. They did retain Patrick Laine, his qualifying offer, a one-year, $7.5 million deal. They dropped a lot of money on Zach Werenski, 6 years, over $9.5 million. Essentially, he's making more than Seth Jones. And it's only a 6-year deal. I don't think there's anybody who felt that deal was on par. They just realized to keep him in Columbus because there seems to be some kind of issue there. From all accounts, Columbus is a beautiful city. You know, good fans. You know, maybe not the most, but like something's up with that organization where we've seen guys come and go, and very very rare do they stay. So yeah, they did lock up those two players for just a bit longer. Werenski 6, Line A 1. I do like the Jake Bean acquisition, giving up a second to, and this is interdivision trading. We're gonna see a lot of this. from the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina, who's notably brought in all sorts of defensive prospects through their system, whether it be via trade or they trade their own prospects like Noah Hanifin to get Dougie Hamilton, who they then let go and sure enough signed to the Metro with the Devils. But in this case, they lost Hayden Fleury, I believe, to traded him to Anaheim.
Yep, that sounds right.
Yeah, it was earlier in the year. That was the first round pick for them. Top 15, if I remember correctly. Jake Bean, also in the same range, was traded for a second. And they also, two big ones, really. They traded Seth Jones, I believe it was the last pick of the first round this year, and a sixth, for offensive defensive prospect, Adam Boqvist. And first round pick, it was 12th overall, I believe, this year, and a 2022 first overall, as well as a second. And then they signed Sean Curlett. I'm sorry, Corrali?
Yep. There you go.
I knew I said it wrong when we had Miss Walsh on from the Slapshot Sweetheart, so I didn't make sure I get it right. I didn't like that deal. I thought they kind of overpaid the guy. To bring people to Columbus, much like with Winnipeg and Edmonton, and I guess you got to pay a little bit more. So that was pretty much. I overlapped one huge deal. Jake Voracek for Cam Atkinson. If it wasn't for the Risto trade, I think there's a lot of not Flyers fans. I think Flyers fans really like the addition of Atkinson, really like getting rid of Voracek, and mainly no money was retained. So the Flyers save almost $2.5 million on this deal. They get a guy who couldn't be more opposite of Jake Voracek. He's going to shoot instead of pass first. He's going to be a hell of a penalty killer. He's second only to Marchand in shorthanded goals. He's going to be a community guy first. He was like Mr. Blue Jacket. He wore the A on his sweater, which is probably the only thing him and Voracek have in common. That and being drafted by Columbus. I don't want to sound too much like a homer here. I already have. So because this was an interdivisional trade, another one already, we just started going here. What were your initial thoughts on this Voracek for Atkinson trade, since this is just involves both of these franchises so closely?
I think that was a huge win for the Flyers. The fact that they didn't retain any salary was kind of surprising. And then on top of not retaining salary, not adding any pieces to the trade, Columbus had some money to spend, so I guess adding the little over about $2.5 million to their cap wasn't as big a deal for the Flyers, where they really were in need of cap relief. I think it's a great deal for the Flyers. They needed a player like Atkinson. They needed that heart and soul guy. And look, we've talked about it. I think Philly fans hated on Jake more than maybe the rest of the NHL, but it felt like his time in Philly was up. I love what he did for the city, but it just felt like he wasn't meshing with what we were trying to build here, and moving him to a team like Columbus, it feels like a win for the Flyers. And quite frankly, I think Columbus gets a guy that can really help them. I think Jake's going to play on the top line. I wouldn't be surprised if he was playing with a guy like Line A and maybe Max Domi on their top line or one of their other young centers. But I think it's a win-win. When it comes to a one-for-one swap, you don't see a ton of these days that make sense on both sides. But I like what the Flyers got, and I do think you'll see Jake put up some good stats. We know the media in Columbus can't be anywhere near what it is in Philly, so maybe Jake flies under the radar and takes a little pressure off. But I think the Flyers made out really well here.
I don't know how you can't do much better. And I'm not even saying Columbus made a bad move. I think it's a good hockey trade. It makes sense for both teams. The only part of it I don't like for Columbus, if they're entering a rebuild, getting a 31-year-old Jake Voracek at that price doesn't make a ton of sense. However, if they're looking to try to flip Line A because they don't see him as a part of their future, or they know he's going to leave, having a guy like Jake pass to his heart's content to a guy like Line A who's going to shoot to his heart's content, it's going to raise somebody's value, if not both. And I doubt they can trade Voracek, but you know, maybe they can get significantly more for Line A or something along those lines. It does make sense from a team going into the 21-22 season, from a team building aspect, that does make sense. A lot of what I read on the Flyers who didn't like the trade, was it was a lateral move, and that literally made me laugh simply because the players. And I do want to add that Atkinson does have an additional year on his deal, so it is 5.8 for a little bit longer than Jake's deal. But like a lateral move, I mean, one guy is shoot team guy, will lay himself out for you on a penalty kill. But the other guy is a point producing passer. That really rubs a lot of people the wrong way, especially in the latter part of his career. Needed a change of scenery like you wouldn't believe. Thought I read when he first got traded here that he wasn't a big fan of Columbus. Could be wrong. I don't want to throw any false. It was a long time ago, but you know, he needed a change of scenery. Flyers knew that. Fletcher knew that. Jake knew that. You know, and let's face it, a lot of people put a lot of hate on Drew. Nowadays, it's not so much you have your captain and that's it. It's a leadership group. You know, it's a bunch of guys. No matter who your captain is, it's not going to be all on him. It's going to be a bunch of guys. And Drew's number two was Voracek. And when I think of those two together, but I think of mainly Voracek, he is the face of probably the worst era in Flyers hockey. That's not to say he's a bad player. That's not to say he's, you know, maybe they didn't build around those guys, but he certainly didn't help the situation. So overpaid guy, peaked at the right time for a contract. You know, love you, Jake. Well, not really, but I'm trying to be nice here. You know, it needed to happen. And the fact that we didn't have, we wanted Seattle just to take him.
Right.
And I've entered home remote at this point, and I apologize. You know, and we were I was prepared to give up a first round pick, which is a little ridiculous. We just needed that money. It is a lot of money. So you see what we had to do to get rid of Ghost. So you could see that's not even that crazy. I believe one team wanted Cam York for Ghost's cap hit. That's $4.5 million. Jake makes $8.5 million. So that's a big difference. Fact is, to trade him for a guy who's going to check a lot of boxes of what this team needed and retain no money, how you cannot like that trade is beyond me. And like I said, it's not even that bad for Columbus. However, Columbus as a whole, I don't see a whole lot there this year. I guess Merzlikins is going to be the starter. Korpisalo will be there. Unfortunately, they lost I don't have his name now. I
feel Matthias Kivlevins.
Yes. In that horrible firework accident and what have you. Don't know how he would have I know he's got some NHL experience, but with those other goalies here, I really don't know how he would have fit. They draft guys that are a little out of left field, so I don't expect anybody really coming up. When we do our deep dive later in the summer, we'll have a much better, like we did last year, much better understanding of who's coming up and what they can be looking at. And they're a team that's going to have to build through the draft because they just can't bring in a lot of free agents. However, much like when they lost Duchesne and they lost everybody they brought in and Panarin left – and, you know, everybody thought Tortorella should have gotten a gold medal for getting them as far as they were, and he deserved to be nominated. This, to me, is not worse because there's more star power that left, but the core pieces of the team are really starting to – and Ken Atkinson even said this. It's like the band was breaking up. They brought in a lot of guys the first time. A lot of those stranger players, Dzingel, Duchesne, whoever. Panarin was already saying he was gone. Bob was saying he was gone. Those guys left, but the main core guys were still with this team. Atkinson, Seth Jones, Roenski, guys of that nature. Bruce Jenner, I knew I was going to do that. Boone Jenner, who re-signed as well. They did re-sign him. You know, most of those guys are gone. Atkinson, Jones. Roenski's a young kid, now he's making a ton. Boone Jenner just signed for more. You know, Domi's kind of a new face anyway, and they were leaving him unprotected, so you don't even know what's up with that. Josh Anderson left last year. So, you know, now this team is really, really different. I think it's worse in a way than before, where I thought they still had talent after they lost a lot of other guys a couple years ago. I don't see a whole lot here outside of, you know, Line A and Voracek and a couple of plug and play guys. And, you know, they even got a new coach. You know, I forget his name, Brad Larson or something.
Yep. Brad Larson.
Yeah. So I he's never coached before as far as I'm concerned. So I have no idea how that's going to go. Is there any other team you could see finishing last, or are they, you in agreement there?
I'm with you. Columbus is my eighth team in division. I like the moves they've made. I think they're not a destination, so they're going to have to overpay some guys, and they're going to have to bring guys in different ways, a la Line A and Voracek. Werenski, guy got paid. He deserves it. He's an unbelievable defenseman. I think they're building a nice foundation I don't think they're necessarily ready to compete considering the heavy hitters that the Metro has these days. But I do like the moves they've made thus far, and time will tell. And you know what? Maybe a little bit of addition by subtraction, losing Tortorella. You might see some of those players get a little more creative. Maybe Line A steps up a little bit. So I think they're the eighth seed, but I don't think they're a dormant team. I think they could surprise some people, but ultimately, I think they are probably the eighth best team in the division right now.
Yeah, and this division's, it's no cakewalk, so that's not going to help either.
Yep.
So next on my list, and already it gets a little controversial, I guess, depending on how you feel, some players and some team building, but I'm not ready to put them any higher yet. I'm still going, and this is kind of where I was last year with them. I do like some of the additions they made, but I'm going with the Devils still.
Same.
Yeah, there are you could really start to mix and match, but there's certain teams I'm not ready to say they've fallen off that far yet. So I'm going to take the Devils. Nathan Bastian was the Kraken selection. They re-signed Mikhail Maltsev. They traded a second for Ryan Graves from Colorado, which actually was a sneaky good move. I don't even know how sneaky it was. Twitter kind of got pissed off at the Flyers for not doing that, even though it was before the Kraken. It would have affected who they can protect and whatnot. Will Butcher and a fifth for future considerations, salary dump. Where did he wind up, Will Butcher? I just read it.
It's somebody
who isn't good. And I remember thinking, like, I felt bad for him. I could have
sworn. Oh, Sabres.
Buffalo Sabres. That's Sabres. Yeah, yep. I knew. I saw the name, and I'm like, that's a Devil's defenseman. I didn't know didn't realize he traded him.
Yeah.
They got a fifth for him, it looks like. Yeah, so they got pieces on defense coming up because their main addition, two players they added, which were very nice. They were lucky enough to get Jonathan Bernier, 2 years at just over $4.1 million per. We put that with Blackwood. That's a nice goalie tandem right there, I got to be honest with you. A team they used to be built that way. They're not as strong on defense anymore. However, you saw how well some of the guys when Blackwood was out performed, and a lot of that had to do with Ty Smith in the defense. PK yep. Subban, that's a lot of he played better, but he's still nowhere near worth the money that he's making. But they did add another $9 million defenseman, the big acquisition. Dougie Hamilton, 7 years, $9 million per, which is actually a little bit less than I thought he was going to get. He's coming to the Devils. That's going to sting a bit. Hopefully, you know, because Ty Smith is pretty well, Jack Hughes is pretty well. They drafted Luke Hughes to play with him as well. I don't know if we'll see him this year. That was worth mentioning because I do think Luke Hughes is a pretty good player. He's probably the biggest of all three. You know, we'll see how that works out. I do like them for the future. However, going into next year in this division and with some of the other teams did, I just can't put them higher yet.
I'm 100% with you. I like the Hamilton signing. I was surprised he chose Jersey. It seems like an odd move for a team to pay a guy like Dougie Hamilton that much money. But I guess when you look at what they're building, they've got some good pieces. Graves slot in as a second pair defenseman, a little more of a defensive guy. PK, you've only got one more year of him, so that $9 million comes off the books. Ty Smith really came into his own last year. He looks solid. You've added two good goals, or you have I'd almost say a 1-1A kind of situation in goal. Some of your young guys took steps forward last year. Jack Hughes looked like a completely different player. I like what they're building, but again, I can't put them any higher than seven just based on the rest of the teams. They're coming. But I think they're still a ways off of adding a few more free agents. And the question ultimately comes down to, like, you got Dougie Hamilton for 7 years at $9 million per, but how many other guys can you bring in to support him with the young guys that you currently have? And that's going to be my question. I think that we won't get that answer at least until next year. But that's kind of where I sit with them. And seventh is right where I had them ranked as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, to break it down just a little bit further, some of their early defensive pairings look like this. Dougie Hamilton and Ryan Graves. I do think that Ty Smith should be there, but I'm just reading it. First unit, second unit, Servanson and Ty Smith or Ryan Graves. Third unit, and Jonas. Oh, here we go. This is the guy when the trade went down earlier. Steenhauer.
Siegenthaler, there you go.
There it is. Only three times a charm, baby. You know, again, we'll have to look at some prospects. They have come up if they expect anybody to make the team. However, that defense, it's a little top heavy, and I know PK Subban's a name, so it's money heavy too, but it's not bad. I really like three of the six a lot. Like, I like Graves is more of a second pairing guy. Ty Smith and Dougie Hamilton, if they can play together and be any good, that's great for them. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's a top defensive pairing unit right there. Graves, again, he's a nice player. Severinsen's okay. Subban, they're just waiting for that money to come up. And that's why I think they'll be better next year and not so much this year, depending on what they do with that money. Right down the middle, Hughes, Heischer, McLeod, and Jesper Boqvist. I mean, that's pretty strong. I like McLeod, former first-round pick. Heischer, former number one overall pick, as well as Hughes. Well, that's nice. Yeah, so I do like their center depth. I think it's better than the Flyers, not by much, but they do have a potential absolute superstar on their top line. However, where it gets a little it's their wings. You know, some names out there. You got Pavel Zacha, who's gotten better but slowly, and it's more of his 200-foot game that's gotten better, not so much his scoring ability, which is what he was drafted sixth overall for. Just got names like Miles Woods, a solid player, Nolan Foote's young, Andres Janssen, how old is he at this point? Jesper Bratt. I did like Yegor Sharangovich. I thought he was a speedy little player who really made a name for himself last year. Yanni Kukinen, I guess that's what that is. Like, they are suspects on wing. I mean, you immediately notice the loss of Palmieri. I look down at this, I go, whoa. So if they're going to be better, they're going to have to get, I was going to say secondary scoring. It's more than that. They need more wingers, legitimately. If they're going to be anything, they need to get somebody. I mean, that's how I feel about them right now.
Yeah, I don't, outside of their centers, I don't think there's anybody on this team that would be on a first line in any of the other Metro teams. Just looking down the list real quick, the, like, you're not putting Andreas Johansson, Miles Wood, Zacha, Bratt. Like, none of those guys are playing on a top line of probably any of the other teams, and even including Columbus, who we have ranked lower. So their center depth is good. They've got some decent defensemen, good goalie, but they're devoid of wingers. And you mentioned Sharangovich. I think he had a nice year, a little coming out party, but those are only as good. You got to follow that up. He's a guy I'll be looking at to see if he can take a step forward. Andreas Johnsson, he kind of broke out a little bit early on with the Maple Leafs, but he never really seemed comfortable after that. So it's like, Sharangovich, yeah, you look good last year, but I'm not counting on him to be my top line right or left winger, because it's just you got to prove it a little more. So I think these guys are firmly in seventh. And the reason I had them ahead of Columbus as well is the Dougie Hamilton and Bernier signing. And I just like what they have up the middle a little bit more, but I don't think this team's going to score a ton. They might not give up a lot of goals, but I just don't think they're going to be able to put a lot in the back of the net either.
Right. And that's always been their issue. And we'll see what happens. Maybe if they get off to a good start, they could add something. Maybe somebody comes up. I'm trying to think of who they've drafted recently. And the first name that comes to mind is a defenseman. Sanderson? Jake Sanderson or something?
Him and Holtz from last year. Too.
I liked Holtz, but I don't think Holtz is anywhere near, especially with
the lack of real
play last year. And other than that, we'll have to do our deep dive and see if there's any potential. Because guys like Sharangovich, like, where did he come from? So if they have something like that, maybe they can get by. But again, I think the division is going to be too tough. I think they'll be significantly better next year, depending on what they do. All right, next on the list, going Pittsburgh Penguins. This is a tough one. Maybe it's because I hate them. I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. I do like that they have Jeff Carter. They have done nothing about their goaltending. The Kraken selected Brandon Tanev, and a lot of teams and people have said, like, wow, they got out of that contract. Don't forget, Brandon Tanev was all their secondary scoring last year. He did a lot for them. Yeah, he made some money. He had some turn. He played well for them, especially against the Flyers. So, you know, say what you will about that. Re-signed Evan Rodriguez. This guy, what did they give him? Because he is a fringe NHL player, if you ask me. And I believe he is slotted on their third line. Yeah, he's slotted to play with Carter and Brock McGinn on the third line as of today.
He got a one-year, $1 million.
He got a raise from last year. Like,
yeah.
Why? You can find, I don't know. That's Hextall for you, I guess. Yes. So, and they also, they traded Jared McCann away. Was he? Okay, good. They traded Jared McCann away for the Philip Hollander in a seventh. Philip Hollander was the prospect, one of the prospects they traded to Toronto to grab Kasperi Kapanen. So I guess they liked him. They got him back, which is funny because it was a different GM, but it is what it is. Yeah. Brock McGinn, they gave 4 years, 2.75 to. Now, I don't know about you. That seems like a lot.
Yeah, I was surprised at that number, too. I had to go back and kind of look at him, and he was a nice player for Carolina, but that I didn't feel like he added enough to get a 4 year and almost $3 million deal. I mean, it was kind of puzzling at best, but they're not working with a whole lot of cap space and they needed players to come in. So I guess this was kind of their best stab at something, but I was not a fan of that deal.
You know what this deal reminds me of? And I really don't know if Brock McGinn is the same style of player, but it's the 4 years. It reminds me of when Hextall signed Dale Weiss.
I was just going to say that.
Third or fourth line guy, probably fourth, you know, maybe energy guy, I guess. 4 years when you have prospects coming up. I guess it makes more sense for Pittsburgh than it did the Flyers at the time. But when I look at the money and I look at the term, I feel like the AAV should be lower, especially in a flat cap. Like, what were you outbidding a team or something? Like, I just – that one is odd. And I don't think I could be wrong. I'll be honest. But they got him slated to be the left winger on the Carter line, which is the third line as of today. Yeah, I don't know. And Dayton Heinen, I don't know much about him either. He was slated to play on the fourth line. Some of their subtractions were Frederick Gaudreau, Cody Ceci, who signed a ridiculous deal. How did he sign the same deal essentially that then Davis Savard signed?
That was
Edmonton. I guess because it's Edmonton, but he played better than I thought he would have for Pittsburgh. But come on, that blew my mind.
That was probably my shocker of free agency. Cody Ceci got 4 years. I think it was about $4 million per. Like, I had to double check that to make sure it was the same Cody Ceci that I thought it was. That deal just I don't get it. I'm sorry, it was 3.25, but still, that seems like about $2 million of an overpayment.
Was it 4 years?
Three point two five.
Wow. He got a better deal than Stanley Cup winning David Savard.
Couldn't believe that one. They must see something they really like, but I'm lost for words on that one.
Yeah. Well, if you're Pitt, you don't match that one. So I get that. But let's talk about I'll go down their center depth and their wingers and lines here real quick. Because that was pretty much all the moves they made. They really haven't gotten into it. You know, they didn't do anything for goaltending. They were rumored to be in on almost every goalie from Frederick Anderson to Marc-Andre Fleury to even Jonathan Bernier at one point. And they got nothing so far. Down the middle, they are strong, however. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Jeff Carter, and Teddy Bluger, who they did resign. On the right wing, Brandon Rust, Kasperi Kapanen, Evan Rodriguez, Zach Aston-Reese. Aston-Reese was a re-sign. On the left, Jake Yensel, Jason Zucker, Brock McGinn, and Dayton Heinen. Their left side, outside of – well, Zucker has not played well in Pittsburgh, if you ask me. Yensel, on the other hand, is a player. McGinn and Heinen, I don't know a whole lot about. I think it's a – their secondary scoring outside of their center depth is going to be tough. Evan Rodriguez, I don't really like the third line outside of Jeff Carter. Everybody keeps saying, like, oh, what if Evgeny Malkin falls off? It's already starting. He has his good games, but he's already starting. Kapanen, who most people said when we wanted him here and he had his down year in Toronto, he'll never be anything more than a third line player. I do think it's a bit dramatic. He does have some penalty kill skills and whatnot. He's your best option for the second line. Like, I don't see a better option. And then Jason Zucker hasn't played well in Pittsburgh and declining Malkin. That's their second line. Now, their power play, you know, might be pretty solid because they can go all hands on deck. And, you know, they'll have Letang, they'll have Carter, they'll have Yensel, Crosby, whatever. And their top line is Yensel, Crosby, and Brian Rust, which is a pretty solid line. I'm not the biggest Rust fan. However, when you're playing with Crosby, you're going to be at your absolute best. So I'm just overall not impressed with that group of forwards. Then you move on to their D, which was probably one of their biggest concerns outside of goaltending last year. You have Letang, who's made of glass, and he's a year older, although he did play well last year. Brian Dumoulin, who played better than I thought he would, to a point. John Marino, who is a very underrated defenseman over there. Michael Matheson, who did not – I don't think he played well. I don't think he was as bad as we thought he was going to be. He had some good games, but ultimately, he's making too much money, and I don't think he's all that good of a player. And finally, on the third pairing, Marcus Pedersen, Chad Rudd, Ruedel, I don't know. It doesn't matter. They're pretty – if you ask me, I know Marcus Pedersen. The other guy was a 6'7 defenseman. Again, not at all impressed, and they're coming back with the same goalie tandem as Casey DeSmith and Tristan Jarry. Laid out the whole team for you. I have them as the sixth team in the division. Where are you at with everything?
Going through it, I came to the same conclusion. I was thinking about maybe one other team, bumping them up a little bit, just for the Sidney Crosby factor. We know he's always going to factor into them. And I still like the Jeff Carter. Having him another year, I think, is going to help. But when I look at this team objectively and take away the stink of Pittsburgh and the hatred that I have, outside of the Crosby line with Gensel and Rust, like you said, Rust is a nice player playing with Crosby, but put him elsewhere, and I don't think he's what he is in Pittsburgh. Kapanen's been – I thought he was solid for them last year, dealt with injuries a little bit. I just can't trust this team. Another year older of Malkin, he looked like a shell of himself last year. Look, there's always going to be times when a player of his caliber can really shine, but for the majority of the season, I felt like he was – almost non-existent. I think they overachieved. I really thought they were kind of falling, and then you bring in Hextall and Burke, and it seemed like they turned things around. Defensively, I just, outside of Marino, there's nothing that I really like. Chris Letang's a good defenseman still, but he's another year older. He's 34. He's not getting any healthier. Let's be honest here. So I have a really hard time seeing them finishing higher than sixth in this division. And one injury, if Crosby goes out for a stretch, if Letang goes down, I just can't see how this team stays afloat with Jarry and DeSmith and net. I think this, fingers crossed, might finally be the year we see them start to show their age, and the lack of depth really comes into play. So I'm with you so far. Columbus Devils and Pittsburgh is my number 16.
Yeah, and it got a little tough. And there, of course, Washington and Pittsburgh are always that team. When you pick them to go a certain drop or a little bit, they'll hang on just to spite you. I could see Pittsburgh doing that in some way, shape, or form. I just think it's going to be a lot tougher. They're going to need one hell of a bounce back from their goaltending, especially the hell's his name, the young kid,
Dave Smith.
No, the other one,
Jarry.
Jarry, thank you. Oh. Yeah, the way I know, right? It's the big name. Yeah, they're gonna need, because his playoffs were rough. They were very rough. But I think a lot of people said that's not him. And I believe that. I mean, it was too bad. And I'm not, look, if we're gonna be how we're gonna be about Carter Hart bouncing back, it's got to be the same for other teams as well. So he's not a bad goaltender in my eyes, but he does need to play significantly better. And Pittsburgh's defense was a lot better than the Flyers were. However, they did make the playoffs. It's just when they got there, what happened? Move on to my next team. And this is where it's getting really tough now, because I'm going Carolina Hurricanes. This team won their division, I believe. They were first. They who they beat? They beat the Predators in a shockingly better series than we thought it was going to be. Kraken selected Morgan Geeky from them. They re-signed Jordan Martinook. They traded Ethan Bear for Warren. They traded Warren Fugel for Ethan Bear. They traded away Jake Bean to Columbus for a second. They also signed Antti Raanta to a two-year $4 million deal. Fredrik Andersson to a two-year $4.5 million deal. They added Ian Cole, Josh Levo, Anthony D'Angelo, Brendan Smith, Jalen Chatfield, and recently, as of I believe yesterday, Derek Stefan. They did lose Yanni Hakanpää, Dougie Hamilton, Peter Mrazek, James Reimer, Cedric Paquet. I believe he was traded last year to Ottawa, and Alex Nikolovic. That was Nikolovic to the Detroit Red Wings, I believe, because they don't want to pony up the dough. When I break down this team, what they did. Obviously, they had huge losses. I never was a huge fan of Reimer or Mrazek in a starting capacity. I actually think they upgraded in goal. I think they potentially upgraded in goal a lot. I just do not trust Antti Raanta as a backup goalie. It's going to be like having Neuwirth. He's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt easily and a lot. And then Fredrik Andersen's just getting older. And you can tell by the money they brought in with these deals that they went there because it was a Carolina friendly deal. But if I look at it on paper, they improved their goaltending. Their defense is not as improved, and which I'm going to start with the defense because the defense is essentially their bread and butter. They lost Dougie Hamilton. They traded away Jake Bean, as I alluded to earlier. They lost Hayden Fleury, although I don't even know if he's an NHL player at this point. What's left is Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesce, Brady Shea, the recently acquired Ethan Bear, Ian Cole. Tony D'Angelo wound up there. I did see Brendan Smith on that list. I don't know if he's a depth defenseman at this point, or they plan on having him swapping out with Ian Cole or whatnot. I think their plan here is to have Tony D'Angelo, if he can keep his – he won't be in a big city, so his political views won't be as, you know, overblown and whatnot. And hopefully, because it's like a last chance kind of thing, he just keeps to himself. He can be a poor man's Dougie Hamilton. And let's not forget – Carolina did retain their biggest free agent in Rod Brind'Amour. So like that was the number one over Hamilton. The goaltending looks a little bit better. The defense takes a little bit of a notch down. Tony D'Angelo is a true X factor here. But then when I look at their forwarding depth is better than I expected. They have a really nice first line with Aho centering Teravainen and Smeshikov. Second line, Trocheck with Niederreiter and Martin Nekas. Jordan Hall still there in that third line, Jesper Foss, Ryan Suzuki, and finally on their fourth line, Lorenz centering Josh Levo and Jordan Martinhook. I'm not all that impressed with the bottom pairing. I think they need more secondary scoring. Before I go any further, your thoughts on where I rank them and their offseason so far?
So I was debating between them and the next team that I have on my list. Ultimately, I have them at 4. My guess is you're probably going to have the same team at 4 that I have at 5, but they had one of the more puzzling off seasons that I've seen from a team in quite a while. They made a lot of moves that I don't feel like it made them any better. You trade a guy in Nedeljkovic because you think he's going to get some decent money in arbitration, only to bring in Antti Raanta at $2 million a year and Freddie Andersen at 4.5. We know Freddie Andersen is not the picture of health these days anymore. He had trouble staying healthy in Toronto. While I like him as a goaltender, it was just odd to see you trade your Calder finalist goalie to bring in two players that are older. You're paying theoretically more money too. I mean, what Nedeljkovic, maybe he would get 4 in arbitration, but I just found it a very odd sequence of moves for them. Dougie Hamilton, I thought he might sign there for a little bit less than what he got in New Jersey. You might give him the 8th year, so maybe it brings the AAV down a little. I think that's going to be a very impactful loss. And let's be honest, Ethan Bear and Ian Cole are not Dougie Hamilton. Nothing they did really replaces what he brings to the team. I love their forward, particularly their top 6 forwards. Huge Aho fan. I think Svechnikov has really come into his own. So I like what they have there. Ultimately, though, this team, I just don't find a ton to get excited about when I look at the totality of the moves. I do like the one-year deal for D'Angelo. We talked about it. I would have been more than okay with him coming to Philly on a no-risk deal. But like at the end of the day, what they lost and what they traded, it feels like they found a way to get worse without really a clear picture ahead, if that makes sense. So like you mentioned, Rod Brind'Amour was definitely their biggest free agent, despite Dougie Hamilton's price tag. But all in all, I just can't get excited about what Carolina's done. And I do think it knocks them down a peg.
So they got a roughly $11.8 million left in cap space, which is plenty. They still have a restricted free agent they have to get signed. I'm very curious as to what he's going to make. And maybe that has something to do with some of these moves, and that's Andrei Svechnikov. And he's played pretty well. So I'm really curious as to what kind of contract he gets with this team being notoriously cheap due to ownership. Where I have them listed on this list has a lot to do with their puzzling off season, but also everybody else in the division essentially getting better.
That's a good way to put it.
I think they moved into a division. I think the division they were in last year was top heavy. I think it was them, Tampa, Florida, and that's it. Somebody else had to make it, and they happened to be Nashville, who a lot of us written off. I thought Dallas would be better, honestly, but they weren't. They weren't even a playoff team. So everybody else, they kind of beat up on, I think. And I think that they padded some of their they're a good team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not excited about playing the Hurricanes by any stretch of the imagination. But I do think, and I'll just transition this into my next team, and I'm going with the New York Rangers here. This team's getting better. They had a little bit of a puzzling offseason so far. Them being listed where they're at is their surge at the end of last year. So let me break down what they did first. So the Kraken select Colin Blackwell from them, who was a nice pickup for them last year for nothing. They re-signed Philip Chytil, nice third-line player at this point. They traded away Buznevich, his rights anyway, for Sammy Blais in the second. Yeah. And they traded a third for Ryan Reeves. They traded for and signed Barclay Goudreau to a six-year, $3.6 million deal. Patrick Nemeth, he's defenseman?
Yep, from Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit, gotcha. Did he get traded to Colorado last year for like the something?
Yeah, I believe he did. Yep, okay. That sounds right.
He got 3 years, $2.5 million. Jared Tardini, 2 years, $900K. They lost Brendan Smith and Philip Giuseppe. I don't think they lost anything outside of Buznevich that was really big. I kept thinking they kept bringing in these third and fourth line guys. One, because of what Tom Wilson did to them. You know, that's why they're getting. That's what Ryan Reeves was brought in for. Sammy, what was it again? Blaus?
Blay.
Blay?
Yep, Sammy Blay.
Sammy Blay. He's a big dude, from what I heard. They're not going to get pushed around. They don't want to be hard to play against. But I thought they were going to get Eichel. I thought they were really going to push for that. They were going to lose some. They needed to make money, make it work financially. They did not do anything, in my mind, to really, truly address their center depth. I do like their defense a little bit better now. Let's just run down there, so I can show you what I'm talking about. As of right now, in the NHL daily faceoff, lines, they have the first line of Zibanejad centering Lafreniere and Chris Kreider. I probably have Panarin on my top line, but it is what it is. Ryan Strome centering Kaapo Kakko and Terry Panarin. Philip Chytil centering Kratsoff, who could be something. He's a little bit of an X factor. And Barclay Goudreau. And then that fourth line of Blay, Kevin Rooney, and Ryan Reeves. Their defense, however, Adam Fox and Ryan Lindgren, Andre Miller and Jacob Trouba, Patrick Nemeth and Niles Lundqvist, and don't forget about Zach Jones. I think Zach Jones makes his way in, and that'll make their defense better. So I do like their defense, and I do think that their goaltending, which is still Igor Shesterkin, who's only going to get better out of all the goalies. Well, I definitely think he played up there. I don't know if I put him over. It's hard to put him over Sorokin because that defense and that is just so good there. He definitely played better than Samsonov, though. And Georgiev is a hell of a backup goalie. Mm-hmm. So I have them just making the playoffs this year, which they fell short a little bit last year. It might be a tough order if certain guys don't perform. And like I said, maybe they're not done. Maybe they do trade for Eichel. He's still out there. Maybe there's guys coming up that we don't know about yet. We will during our deep dive. But as of today, if they roll with this roster, I think they – probably make the playoffs. Maybe it's the Hurricanes. Maybe it's them. That's where I sit with them. Where do you sit with everything?
They were a tough one for me. I really like what they did. We mentioned it. I think they were about a year ahead of schedule. What we saw towards the end of last year, I was expecting them to do that this year. I have them in the four spot, but it's not. I'm sorry, I had them in the five spot, but there's kind of an asterisk to it. I think if they are able to add a top six center, that transforms this team, and that puts them, I think you could see them knocking on the top three of this division. I love what they have on defense. Adam Fox played unbelievably well. I think people were really expecting a big year out of Trouba, and Fox really took the league by storm. He played at a completely different level. I love the goaltending tandem. I think Georgiev as a backup is really solid. They still have about 13.6 million in cap space. I don't think they're going to get Eichel. Ultimately, I do think the price would probably be a little too high. I don't know if it would make sense up and down the lineup to divest some of the pieces they may have to. But I do think this team is, the arrow is pointing firmly up, whereas it's hard to say that unequivocally for any of the other seven teams in the division. And I think their arrow is pointing the highest of any of them. So I like what they've done. Reeves, it's kind of, you needed it with Tom Wilson on the caps and what he did to you last year, but a third round pick for a guy that might be in the press box half the games feels like a bit of an overpayment. I am a Sammy Blais fan. I did like that move. Buchnevich probably was going to get more money than they were willing to pay him. I do think the Barclay Goodrow deal was good. You bring in a Stanley Cup winner, solid player, and the AAV isn't that bad. 6 years, I don't know if I would have loved that, but at that number, I'm okay with it. I just think they're building everything in the right way, and you still got Panarin, Zibanejad, and Kreider as your kind of three key pieces up front. So this team's coming. Four spot, five spot, I think they could be interchangeable. But like I said, if they're able to add one more top two-line center, I think that changes this team a lot.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. If they get a center and everything goes right for them, they could win the division. That's how close they are. That means that everybody stepped up. That means Lafreniere looks more and more like the top overall pick that he was, even Kapo to an extent. I don't know. It doesn't have to be Eichel. It could be another. I don't know who'd be available, or it could be a trade. Who knows? But if they do something about their center depth, they could really take off. I'm hoping they don't. But yeah, I think you said it perfectly. They're coming. So next team on the list for me, going with the Washington Capitals. I think this is where I had them last year. I'm still expecting that fall off. It's something to be said that the last two seasons we have were cut short, and this team ran out of steam in the playoffs. Even with the COVID bubble and the time off, they just didn't look the same. So now we're going back to a full season. It's believable to think that they'll fall off later in the towards the end of the season. I can see them hanging towards the top like they usually do and kind of falling off a bit and then getting bounced in the first round for what would be the fourth straight year in a row or third. I might be ahead of myself. It's right around there. And this, all they did was lose Vanacek to the Kraken. They did resign Ovechkin to a 5-year, $9.5 million deal. They traded away Brendan Dillon for 2 seconds to the Jets. They gave up a second to get Vanacek back. And other than that, they didn't add anybody. They lost Craig Anderson and Michael Raffle to free agency. Their lines of now, Ovechkin, Backstrom, Tom Wilson, Kuznetsov, who is being constantly rumored to being moved, with Mantha and Oshie, Lars Eller with Connor Sheary and Daniel Sprong, Nick Dowd with Garnet Hathaway and Carl Hagelin. Their defense is still Orloff and John Carlson, Justin Schultz and Michael Kepney, Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Nick Jensen. One thing about the centers that should be listed here, I'm 99% positive that Connor McMichael will be on the starting roster for this team, and that is why I still have them in playoff condition. I do think he's going to be a solid player. I do think with those players, he'll play better than he probably normally would, and he'll be that little extra juice to get them going. If Samsonov has a good year to his ability, that could definitely help out Vanacek. All he's got to do is do what he did last year to get them enough. Now, playoffs, whole different story, but regular season Vanacek did enough. So that's what they're looking like, almost identical to they were last year, although I think they took a little bit of a step back. We'll see what Connor McMichael does for them, but your thoughts on Washington's future?
They were a tough team to rank. I toyed with putting them in the five spot and bumping up the other two. I think age is going to rear its ugly head at some point. I don't like their depth outside of their top two lines. And even there's some question marks surrounding some of the players. Like, personally, I don't know that Tom Wilson is a every game top line player. He's a solid player. He does everything you want. But personally, I'd rather have him slotted on the second or third line if it was my team. Ovechkin, Backstrom, we know that duo is going to do what it does. That I don't see that falling off. Ovechkin signing that deal was deserved. However, I was surprised that the number came in at what it did. The 5 years didn't surprise me because I think that takes him through, theoretically, the goal scoring record and potentially retirement. But that's a big ticket to sign a guy that's 35 years old too. I just the bottom six and losing. I think Brendan Dillon's going to hurt. I liked him as a player. I think he fit in well there. Like Orlov, Schultz, Jensen, Kempney, Van Riemsdyk. I don't want any of those guys in my on my top pairing with Carlson. Nor do I really like Justin Schultz is a nice player. Nick Jensen, nice player, but I think they're going to get exposed on a second pairing. Vanacek had a great year. I think it was a good move to bring him back. Kind of seems a little sneaky to have him get selected and trade a pick back, but that's just me. Samsonov, I believe in his talent, but he was so in and out of the lineup last year. It's hard to put a lot of stock in that. So I'll believe it when I see it. You brought up Connor McMichael. If you didn't, I was going to. I 100% believe he's on this team next year. And that could be what keeps them afloat. Maybe infuse a little bit of energy. He could provide a little bit more scoring. But I think this team is – I think the demise is coming for this team. Whether or not Backstrom and Ovi and Carlson can prop them up for another year remains to be seen. But if they finish fifth, I would not be shocked. But I think, like you mentioned, they always seem to hang around. And I'll give them a little bit more staying power right now than the Pens. So the third spot, I think, is solid.
Yeah. Is that where you had them as well?
Yeah, I had them right at three. Like I said, I was between the Canes, the Rangers, and the Caps. I went back and forth. But ultimately, Caps came in at three for me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like you have to give the Capitals their, you know, respect. And that's what it
exactly
feels like.
Exactly.
And I know I didn't really do that with Pittsburgh, who won the division last year. But, you know, I just – talent thing for me. We saw guys drop off, and some of the guys that I thought got them through certain periods are no longer with the team either, although I do like Carter. But you know what? The Capitals, they were also at the top of the division for the majority of the year. If they get that little infuse of young talent, perhaps they could stay up there. I still think they get bounced in the first round. Honestly, if Pittsburgh and Washington both made the playoffs, even if they played each other or they played other teams, I would give Pittsburgh more of an odds of making it to the second round than I would Washington. Because Washington, they could have a killer first, you know, they could win the division. And I could still see them being balanced by like a wild card team, like, geez, off the top of my head, like, you know, Toronto or something. Like, I could just see it happening. I don't know who it would be, but like, you know, somebody like that. And
like Boston. If they went up against Boston in the first round series, I'd be taking Boston all day.
Yes, exactly. Especially Boston. But I honestly don't see them winning the division. I have a team that I do think will win a division. Before we get to that, my number two team in the division this year will be the Philadelphia Flyers. No, I'm not going to put them first. You just can't ignore the moves that were made, whether you like them or not. You can't ignore them and how they fit and check boxes for this team. Don't get me wrong, a lot has to go right, but let's go down their offseason real quick. They Kraken selected Carson Twinski from them. One of the biggest head scratchers of that for me by all. I mean,
by far.
I thought they'd even consider Ghost just for selling tickets. It's only two more years. I think it's 2 more years. You know, they take a guy who is a fringe friend of the pod, came on our podcast twice, you know, and I always like him for that because he came the first time he came on, we were in our infancy. So I appreciate that, Carson. Good luck to you. However, he could not crack the lineup in a very bad Flyers team last year, particularly at forward. You know, he barely played. We saw names such as Wade Allison and Lazinski and guys of that nature come up. And he was in 2 years ago. He had a nice little run, but we've seen those kind of players come and go. I honestly don't believe he's an NHL player. I think he'll play because of their depth issues. And then I think that'll probably be the last we see of the guy. They re-signed Sammy Morin for league minimum. They traded – this is where it gets crazy. They traded Nolan Patrick, an absolute headache.
Stud? Stud, yes. Is that where you were going?
Studly headache. and Phil Myers, who I do believe still has potential to be a second pairing defenseman, to the Predators for Ryan Ellis. No picks, no salary retention, nothing involved. Not that our players had much salary retention, but yeah, an absolute home run here. I'm not going to get – we'll leave that for the regular show. That's just the move they made. They traded away Ghost to the Coyotes, and they also gave up a second in the 2023 draft, I believe, and a seventh in this past year's draft for – it's just straight-up cap relief. The other mega deal, they gave up the 13th overall pick, second rounder in the 2023 draft or 22, a future second, and Robert Hagg. For Risto Ristolainen, which the fan base is split. The NHL is, I wouldn't say they're split. I think they're more on the side of what the Flyers thinking. However, for me, it's fans versus GMs, and all the GMs really like this guy. So just keep that in mind when your analytics come out and all that and whatever. We'll see what happens. So I'm not going to take one side or another. Do I dislike this trade? Not really. Not when I think about what's Hag ever going to be, a 6'7 guy. He's a good soldier here. But he's a 6'7 guy. If you want to think he led the league in hits, then I recommend you go back and watch some of those hits. you know, if he was out of the NHL or in the AHL in 3 years, I would not be shocked. I would be more shocked if he was a steady second pairing defenseman. That would be shocking. A second round pick's a second round pick. It's a higher price, sure. But if you look at all the Flyers second round picks going back 20 years, like, the biggest one they have is Carter Hart. They have not hit in the second round at all. Steve, off the top of your head, can you think of any second round picks that have really stuck?
I mean, I think Knack was a second round pick, if I recall.
Yes, it was. Aub Kubel. There's another name for you.
But yeah, like outside of him, not much off the top of my head.
A couple of names. Kevin Marshall. You remember that defenseman?
Oh my God.
He was a second round pick. You know, like just not a lot. You know, and 13th overall, you know who they last drafted 13th overall?
Who's that?
Sam Morin.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
I mean, and it was funny because Ristolainen went 9th or 8th or 9th that same year. And jeez. It's just in a draft like this where it's an 8 or 9 player draft and you're not drafting a goalie. And I put my job on the line when I said it. I'll not do the pod if they take a goalie with the 13th pick. And so it didn't matter. Yeah, I sweat it out a little bit because you never know. They should have taken Cole Caulfield and they didn't. Let's not get into that. So after those 8 or 9 players were off the board, I mean, I don't even know the name of the guy Buffalo took. Like, I'd never heard of him. And I did,
Isaac Rosen.
Some research for this draft. Like, I wanted to know like a good 20 to 25 names, and I did not know who he was. And it's because you didn't see these guys play. So if you're going to move picks in any draft, it's this draft. Ristolainen could still be a complete bust. It's still totally possible. I don't think they're going to sign him. I don't think they're going to let him walk. I just think they're going to let him play out the season and then make a decision because you don't want to double down on what could potentially be a mistake. However, I will not argue that it was an overpayment. It was an overpayment. But you know what? This team got the crap kicked out of him and nobody raised a finger. We had two fights last year, Steve. Do you know who fought for us?
Oscar Lindblom, Abe Kubel.
So I actually think they didn't consider the Sam Morin fight. But Sam Morin.
Oh, Morin, yeah.
Not Aub Kubel. Farabee, I believe, had a fight. And obviously everybody remembers Oscar Lindblom. But I think the Morin fight was like a scrum or a scrum. I could be wrong. Maybe there were three fights. Either way, not nearly enough. And Moran's unfortunately not going to be in the lineup every night for you. But Salina will be. You know, he's made his mistakes. He's an offensively talented player. All his analytics tell me at today, he's not a top-pairing defenseman. He's not. But he could be a second-pairing defenseman. He could lay the body around, clear people from out of the front of the net, win board battles, make skilled players think twice. That's it. Hey, this is all on paper, too. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying this is what I hope happens. And finally, well, not finally. This is just another big trade. Voracek for Atkinson. We spoke about this at the beginning. I won't go into it again. Love that move. Then they added Martin Jones, Nate Thompson. Thompson was a depth piece. I don't hate it. I just feel like they're done now because they made that move. Jones, I was hoping for. That was very underwhelming to me. Maybe goalies wanted too much money. Maybe they preferred to go elsewhere. This is who they wound up with. There's a connection with Kim Dillenball. So we'll see what happens there. But one of my favorite moves is Keith Yandel. 1 year, $900K. I mean, come on. This is great. You essentially got a better version of Ghost at $900K. I mean, he's going to be protected on your third pairing. He's better defensively. He's going to you expect him to be on that first power play unit?
I have to think that he is. I mean, what he brings to the table, as much as I love Provorov and Ellis and Sanheim, he just adds a different element to the power play. And I think he's so comfortable running a power play. I'd really be surprised if the Flyers didn't use him there. Maybe not full time, but I do think he should get the first crack personally. It's what he's best at. We didn't bring him in here to be a shutdown top pair defenseman. He's not that. I don't know that he ever was. He's a puck moving guy. He sees the ice well. He's a good passer. He gets shots through. Look, by all counts, he had longer deals and bigger deals elsewhere, and he chose to come to the Flyers. And he's not a shutdown guy. I mentioned that. He's gonna get criticized. He's gonna make bad plays in his own zone, but he brings an element to the table that, quite frankly, I don't know that the Flyers have on this roster. Maybe Cam York, as he matures, he's that type of guy, that offensive first player. But he adds an element that you just didn't have. And I do think giving him first shot at the power play can really infuse some life into it. And Provorov, the guy plays a lot of minutes. He's young. He's tough. He doesn't hardly ever even miss a shift. And we know he never misses a game. But if you can maybe put him out there on the second power play unit, maybe Ellis, maybe give him a couple more shifts off, and later in the game, later in the season, his body isn't as worn down, I think it's only going to help the team. So personally, I love the move. I can't hate on it at all. And maybe we'll get to see a song from him early on. So it'll make it all worth it.
So another thing I wanted to add, though, is some of the lines have been set up and people are speculating. I think there's a strong chance that Giroux gets moved back to center if they don't like their center depth. This is also a situation for Morgan Frost. If he was ever going to break out, you know, it'd be this year. But as the things are laid out right now, and I'll discuss this with you quickly, first line is Couture, Giroux, and Cam Atkinson. I like Cam Atkinson. A lot of these I see Konechny on the top line. If Atkinson's going to put up the 40-ish numbers, now I don't actually expect him to force 40 goals. He's the kind of player who needs to play with the most talent, and everybody plays with Couture is better. If you're going to make this acquisition that much better, I want him with the top talent on the team. And honestly, Konechny's kind of got to prove it to me. Now, Konechny will get power play time. Atkinson will get penalty kill time. So I'm okay putting him with five. He's also the better 5-on-5 player at this point, significantly older, but that's saying something. I like that lineup if Giroux stays at wing.
Yep.
On the second line, you got to go with Kevin Hayes, Joel Farabee. There's a connection there. And Konechny, you know, see what happens. Maybe there's less play against them. They're a little small outside of Hayes, but on the boards, really. But you know what? It could work, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there. Third pairing, have Scott Laughton, JVR, and Aubku Bell. I think if Lindblom could play, I'd rather have Aubku Bell on my fourth line.
Yep,
hopefully, I'd rather have Wade Allison there at this point, if not Lindblom. But Lindblom's more of a left wing to me. And then on the fourth line, Nate Thompson, Aubku Bell, or Wade Allison, and Oscar Lindblom. I mean, they are strong at wing. There's strength at wing. If you bump Nate Thompson out of the lineup and Morgan Frost isn't ready to play, Giroux could be your second line center. Suddenly you've got a really nice fourth line of Lindblom, Kubel, and Laughton. Your third line's Hayes, JVR. You could mix this up as well. And Wade Allison. Oh, that second line would probably be a little too small if you ask me. Farabee, Giroux, and Konechny. So maybe they do break it up. But the pieces are there. The pieces are definitely there. Nate Thompson could come in when you need him to. And let's not be he's really good at faceoffs. Mm-hmm. And he's another penalty kill guy, which hurt last year on defense. And this is where it's significantly improved and why I have them as high as second. Say what you will about a guy like Rasmus Ristolainen, but he on that second pairing with Travis Sanheim is going to look significantly better. You have a player who's been thrown to the wolves on that top pairing. It's an improvement from what we had. And our top pair of Ryan Ellis and Ivan Provorov, I mean, that's better than Niskanen by far.
Yep.
People are going to love Ryan Ellis. It's going to make Provorov better. It's going to make Hart better. And the third pairing of Justin Braun and Keith Yandle, and you can bring in Cam York at times to play for Keith Yandle, and you can bring in Sammy Morin to play for Justin Braun. You know, or maybe somehow, some way, York and Yandle wind up on the third pairing, because I'm not going Braun and Morin. That's not happening.
Oh, God, no.
However, the fact that like I even like our third pairing at this point compared to last year is like, wow, that is significantly improved. The power plays, we'll see how that winds up. I do think Yandel will play on the first power play unit, but we'll see. And then you got Hart and Martin Jones. this is all built on Hart bouncing back, and I'm in the belief that he will, because that defense was that bad. Confidence, those of us who play competitive sports at a, you know, somewhat high levels, even if you just care, even if you just want to win, even if it's a men's league, if you just want to win, you know, confidence is a real thing, especially when things are out of your control. I think Hart needs to get back to understanding that hockey's fun, and because his road woes were still a thing even when he was playing well. So a lot's going to come down to him. Only outside of who they traded, they only lost Brian Elliott and Alex Lyon. Good soldiers again for the team. I have them second. Is this where you have them, Steve?
I do not. And it was tough. This is where it got tough for me. I felt like a homer. But when I compare them to the rest of the division, the moves that they made and the moves that I'll say the other team we haven't mentioned yet, the Islanders, didn't make, I felt like they addressed pretty much every area of need without subtracting from necessarily their future or their prospect pool. Future being draft picks, prospect pool being the other consideration. You didn't really lose anybody. Look, Phil Myers, I think he still has a chance to be a really good defenseman. But when you consider you traded two players coming off horrific years for a player in Ryan Ellis that is a top pairing defenseman, no doubt about it, a huge win. Ghost, it sucks to give up a second round pick to move money, but you got to do what you got to do. And personally, the Ristolainen trade, I think you hit it on the head. The one other thing I would like to add on that, being that other teams were in the mix offering a first round pick, it is on face value an overpayment. However, when the market is set at what it was, you have to give up something to get something. And the 14th overall pick in this year's draft, to me, is way better than giving up a prospect that you really like for the future. The other thing that it did was, I think it made you, it added a piece in free agency that you were going to need to address. That fourth defenseman, the fourth defenseman that was going to play with Sanheim, really was a wide open spot. I wouldn't have felt comfortable with Braun, Moran, even York or Zamula having to play up there. And you added that piece before free agency opened. You know how much he costs. If he doesn't work, he walks. It would be tough to let him walk after trading a first and a second round pick. But at the end of the day, you filled a hole that you were going to have to address anyway. So to me, that was a huge win for them. I think the lines that you rattled off, they've got some depth. They've got some players that you can move up and down the lineup. And if they have a big injury where if a team like Pittsburgh or Washington has one of their top guys go down, you still have players that can step up and fill some of those roles. Am I wholly confident that they are going to win the division? Not necessarily, but today, August 1st, after all the moves they've made, I think they've improved the most in division. And I think they've gotten back to at least closer to what we saw 2 years ago, right before everything shut down. I think this team has a real shot to really make the playoffs and I think win this division. So you need a bounce back from Hart for sure. I think Provorov playing with Ellis is going to elevate his game. And when I look at everything objectively, I just think the Flyers have put themselves in a position to win this division.
Tough to argue much of that. Still, down at the end of the day, a lot of what ifs. And speaking of what ifs, I'll get to my top of the division team. Got to give it to the Islanders simply because their coaching and defensive play and their goaltending, too, is really top notch across the board. Although I do think defense has a lot to do with their goaltending. Kraken did them a favor in selecting Jordan Eberle. Did he have the ability to still score? Yeah. I do think they needed the money more. They have yet to re-sign anybody, but I think they're going to. I think there's one guy that they're trying to lock up before that, you know, how Lou Lamoriello is. It's all about the team. Probably announced all three guys. They probably are bringing in I know they're probably going to re-sign Palmieri. I know they're probably going to re-sign Cizikas. And they're probably going to bring in
Zach Parise.
Parise, thank you. Yep. Yeah, Parise. Yep. I think that it's all going to be announced. On top of that, they traded away Nick Leddy for Richard Panik and a second. And they traded away Andrew Ladd's salary retention for a second into conditional picks, salary dump, which they needed to do. And I don't think losing Nick Leddy was as bad now with guys like Noah Dobson coming up and coming into their own and Pollock and whatnot. So as of right now, this is without Palmieri, Cizikas. I fully expect Cizikas to be there. and you'll see when I get to the bottom pairings how it's going to look, and Parise. So that's three big forward names here. So the top line of Barzal, Bailey, and Andras Lee, if it stays that way, it's pretty strong for sure. They're getting Andras Lee back. Let's not forget that. Brock Nelson, Bolivier, and Oliver Wahlstrom. I think the loss of Eberle isn't as bad with Wahlstrom starting to come into his own. They got Pageau centering Richard Panik and Kiefer Bellows. I don't think it's going to be Bellows. I think this whole thing's going to get mixed around when they bring in. We know Zizekas is going to be on that fourth pairing with Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck. Right now they have Leo Komarov down there. I don't know what they're going to do with him, but I do think they're to add those three forwards to what they already have here. It's going to fill up a lot of their depth that I thought they didn't have when I'm looking at it now. And if they do that, their fourth line's back intact, which did really well. And I think Zizekas is the guy who made that line go.
Yep.
Parise, probably third line player at this point, still has spurts of speed and can still put up some points, respectable, probably for what he's going to really make, which probably won't be much. And then they'll have another goal scorer in Palmieri, and he could play anywhere. He could play on the top line, he could play on the second line, knock Wahlstrom down, probably knock Ethan Bellows out of the lineup for now, and see what happens. And then on defense, you have Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock, Noah Dobson, one more year of Andy Green at least, Scott Mayfield, and the other Sebastian Aho. And I'm sure that we'd have to check, but they might even have other guys coming up still. We'll do that when I do our deep dives. And then their goaltending, Semyon Varlamov and Ilya Sorokin. And if Sorokin, you know, if they need money and they let Varlamov eventually walk and Sorokin takes the reins with this defense and this coaching staff, definitely possible. I see how they're maneuvering their offseason and cap situation in the flat cap era. They're also a team still somehow, I don't think it happens at this point, but they're still in on Tarasenko, as are the Rangers. They did it last year without Andras Lee. I don't think they really lost anything, and I could see them running it back again. They're going to be tough to knock. I'm not as afraid of them as I used to be. I do think we'll fare much better against them, but until we knock them off, I think they're the cream of the crop.
It's hard to disagree. My personal feeling and the reason I put the Flyers first was I don't know that they necessarily got worse. I just don't think they necessarily got any better. I personally, Barry Trotz, I think makes that entire engine go. If you remove him and his system from this team, I don't think this team is. When I look at them objectively, I think they'd be a fringe playoff team. I think he brings it all together for them, the style of play, everybody bought in. I feel like at some point that lack of true high-end talent is going to catch up with them. I don't know if it's going to be this year or not, but I do still think they're a shoo-in for the playoffs, barring major injuries. Getting Andras Lee back is going to be big. I mean, coming off an ACL, he is over 30. It might be a little tougher, but I don't think an ACL injury in the NHL is quite the same as, say, NBA or NFL. Love Barzal. Bevilier, another year older. His skill is always on display. Wahlstrom coming in. I do like what they have, but I just don't see where they got any better. I know they went toe-to-toe with the Lightning. I just think they're a team that once you get into the playoffs, they can advance only so far. They just are missing, like Leo Komarov, and we talked about it one of our shows, I think, during the playoffs. You can't have Leo Komarov on your top line in the playoffs. You just can't. Like, I don't care what he's doing. Like, you had Eberle, Komarov with Barzal. That's not a championship first line. You have probably the best fourth line in the league, but when you have Komarov on your top line, it just doesn't get it done. So I was hoping they brought in, or not hoping, I was thinking they would bring in someone. Tarasenko getting added to that mix might change it, but at the same time, is he a Barry Trotz type player? Would he buy into that system? Would he really fit? I mean, we know he's a sniper, he can shoot, but in that system, you're not necessarily allowed to be as creative as you might want to, kind of like John Tortorella and some of the stuff that came out about Line A and their lack of creativity there. So I think they're a solid team. They're going to be a tough out. I don't necessarily know if they're going to be a high scoring team. I just don't think they're going to allow a lot of goals. And like you said, Sorokin looks like the future. So whenever Varlamov's contract runs out in the 2 years, You're probably looking at Sorokin in a full-time role, but my guess is they're going to go a 1-1A situation. Would it shock me if they won division? Absolutely not. But when I look at everything today, I think the Flyers got better, more so than the Islanders really did anything to address some of that secondary scoring. So that's where I got Flyers 1, Isles 2. But for the most part, we're saying the same things.
Yeah. And how much did the Flyers close the gap, I guess you could say? And what I was going on is, without Andrusli, they did take Tampa, a ridiculously good Tampa team for various reasons, to game seven. And I mean, a goal. It was a goal. Yep. Goal away.
Shorthanded goal, too.
Yeah. And that's not like the Islanders to give up such. Yep. So I think they need to be dethroned. I do think it's possible. They didn't win the division, but I do think they have a playoff, like you were saying, like a length, but they are more of a playoff team than anybody in our division at this point. I know you could speak to Pittsburgh and Washington's past success, but the past is the past, and these teams have not seen out of the first round in quite a while. You know, and Pittsburgh losing to the Islanders, but also losing to Montreal before they added certain players. Washington just not getting it done, like really winning a game, yeah, really, and that's it. And they get hurt, they run out of steam. So when I look at playoff teams, Boston's not in this division anymore. You know, the Rangers haven't been in the playoffs in quite a while. It's us and our one playoff victory over Montreal. We lost to the Islanders, and the Islanders are like, when you look at the East, who's the team knocking on the door for the East, it's or the Metro, I should say, and it's the Islanders. So until the rest of us prove otherwise, I think it's them. But again, this is way too early. We don't even know what they're doing. We don't know what any of these teams are doing. A couple of teams got new head coaches, like the Rangers and whatnot. So we'll see what happens. It was good to get back on and talk about everything that had gone down. Obviously, the Flyers more in depth about their moves, and I'm sure there's going to be controversy all year long, especially with Ristolainen. With that, Steve, you got anything else this week?
I think that's it. It was a good breakdown. Interesting to see some of the moves on paper, but yeah, I think we're in for a good offseason.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, more things can happen. We'll get more into teams' draft selections, and we'll do deep dives on all the teams. Might have a little help this year. Might have made some connections with some of our Belly Up affiliates and whatnot, and bring in some guys who cover the teams. Like we do the Flyers, and see what they have to say and what they think, and try to stay off the homer button the best we can. I think if you listen to our show, our platform for the last 3.5 years, you'll know that we are anything but homers. I think 70% of the time we're shitting on the team. however, this is a Metro show, so we'll see what happens. With that, keep an eye out for our regular show with myself, Jimmy, and Kyle. We just had Charlie O'Connor on last week, who is not a fan of Ristolainen, so please check that in and see what he had to say. Coming up this week, we'll have the fourth period's Dave Pagnotta. That's going to be a fantastic show. I can't wait to see how that goes. Big guests coming up for sure. You also have the Sheriff with Kyle and Sean McMorrow. They have so many episodes on backlog. They're going to be releasing somebody new probably every week or other week and whatnot, and just look forward to those war stories. The Bright Side's back in effect with Josh Bright, Jimmy, and newly added Flyers Johnny. They just had Jason Martinez on last week. That was a very good show as well. Jay Mert is a friend of the show. Just love having him on. Was jealous, wasn't able to partake in that, but give it a listen. Other than that, our HW website is at hwhockey.net, where you can find all this content as well as new articles posted daily by Flyers Johnny. We are on the Full Press Coverage app. We are associated with Belly Up Sports on their website as well. We have our High and Wide YouTube hockey channel, where Jimmy's In Case You Missed It, which is also on Facebook Live, where he gets you caught up. I think this past week he had three different guests on. I believe he had Anthony DeMarco, the fourth period. He had Jamie Bascal from the Flyers Nitty Gritty on. He occasionally will have a Rush Joy or somebody like that on. He had a Flyers prospect. I'm sorry, not Flyers, but NHL prospect come on just to, you know, get his name out there. And he was drafted in the fourth round. It's a daily show, usually only 20 minutes, but every now and then you get somebody going and all of a sudden it's an hour and 15 minutes. Thank you, Rush Joy. yeah. So look out for those. They're daily, which is great. Get your Daily Flyers taste. Keep it going through this off season. And with that, guys, tune into our show this week, and we'll probably be back in a week or two with more. And with that, guys, gals, HW Flyers fans, until next time.